Hey, this is Erin Moran from A Girl Called Eddie, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Ketty on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Kathleen Moore reports for the Times Union that a State Board of Regents committee unanimously voted on September 12th to require all private schools to teach classes in English and ensure all students study math, science, history, and English. The decision would mandate a significant change in how yeshivas and other private schools teach high school classes. Approximately 100 ultra-Orthodox Jews gathered outside the State Education Department on September 12th, promising to ignore the new rules. The full Board of Regents will vote on the rules on September 13th. The rules would also require that teachers demonstrate competence in the subjects they teach. The regulations would go into effect on September 28th, but schools would have until June 2025 to comply. The changes would impact private schools throughout the state. In the Capital Region, few schools are likely to be affected by the rules, which will enforce a longstanding requirement for private schools to provide an education that is, quote, substantially equivalent, unquote, to that offered in public schools. The rules would change how high school is currently taught to boys in many yeshivas. In those schools, boys study only the Talmud, a collection of thousands of analytical pieces about the Torah. Boys learn critical thinking as they evaluate the works in the sacred text, but they do not study math, science, history, and English as their public school counterparts do throughout high school. At yeshivas, courses are frequently taught in Yiddish. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union. Governor Kathy Hochul let her COVID-19 state of emergency lapse on September 12th, even with many COVID-19 cases and the continuing announcement of deaths from the virus. The state of emergency declaration allowed for EMTs to provide vaccines under state law and also allowed no bid contracts for COVID-19 issues. Hochul has been criticized recently for a multi-million dollar contract her administration granted to a campaign donor for COVID tests. Hochul also faces voters soon, and COVID-19 mandates from the state are not popular. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
The Daily Freeman reports that three people were injured on September 12th in a crash involving an SUV and a Catskill ambulance. Shortly before noon, Columbia County Sheriff's deputies responded to a crash involving a 2022 Subaru Crosstrek and a 2016 Chevrolet ambulance from the town of Catskill, according to a press release. The collision occurred on State Route 23 at Middle Road in Greenport. The ambulance was eastbound on Route 23, transporting a patient to the Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson when it was struck by the Subaru traveling south through the intersection from Middle Road, police said. The passenger in the Subaru was taken to CMH for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries, police said. The driver was not injured. The ambulance driver was also not injured, but an emergency medical services worker and a patient in the ambulance suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The EMS worker and patient who were not identified were also taken to Columbia Memorial, police said. The Subaru driver was ticketed for failure to yield the right-of-way at an intersection. State Route 23 was closed to both east and westbound traffic for approximately an hour after the crash. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Marie J. French reports at Politico how efforts to build offshore wind turbines at the Port of Coymans and Port of Albany are being opposed by environmentalists. The Port of Coymans recently has been a maritime hub for construction debris from New York City, so it would seem environmentalists would support a shift to building offshore wind turbines. But environmentalists see the expansion of the ports as risky to the health of the Hudson River. Barbara Heinzen, a Coymans resident, said, and I quote, "We've had 20 years of creeping expansion," end quote. The 125-acre Port of Coymans is about 15 miles south of Albany, owned by Carver Companies, recently added an industrial park to the dismay of some neighbors. The Carver Companies' businesses have been fined several times by the DEC for environmental violations, including a 2018 fine for illegally stored road salt at the port. The current expansion plans there would require dredging to increase the depth of the Hudson River and allow bigger ships to load and unload. That dredging will eliminate the potential habitat for the endangered sturgeon in the Hudson River. Carver wants to mitigate that loss by funding 1.8 acres of habitat restoration at the Skodak Island State Park across the river. On August 8th, the Department of Environmental Conservation concluded that all negative environmental impacts had been minimized and mitigated, and I quote, "to the maximum extent practicable," end quote. At the Port of Albany, the complaints are about the number of trees cut down for the port's expansion. John Lipscomb, Riverkeeper's boat captain, said, and I quote, "We seem to compromise our values. It's not about wind. It's not about politically popular projects," end quote. Read more about this story at Politico.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the CREATE Council on the Arts is looking to renew its relationship with Greene County. The county contributes $34,000 a year for the administration of the council and $40,000 for grants to be distributed to county arts groups. This year, the county did not dispense the $34,000 in funds for administrative costs after the group went on hiatus following the departure of former executive director Marlene Martin. Two of the agencies that received funding from the council, the Bronk Museum in Coxsackie and the Michael J. Quill Irish Cultural and Sports Center in East Durham, collected their portions of the funding after contacting the county. The rest of the money allocated has yet to be dispersed this year. Quote, "They basically went dormant," unquote, Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said. Quote, "Without an executive director, all of the programmatic things were shelved, so they just kind of went dark. So we never got their annual application for funding, so the funding just sat there unexpended," unquote. Former CREATE Executive Director Kay Stamer over the summer offered to volunteer to help jumpstart the council, and shortly thereafter a new executive team was put in place. Executive Director Nathan McLaughlin and new Council President Anthony DeSantis appeared before the legislators' County Resources Committee last week to express their commitment to Greene County and propose the nonprofit group continue its arrangement in distributing the county's arts grant funding. McLaughlin said the group plans to stay in its space on Main Street in Catskill, where it has been headquartered since the 1980s. Greene County Legislator Matt Lavera said he wants to see the grant funding dispersed. Quote, "We didn't really want to see the grants go away," unquote, he said. Quote, "We were actually in the process of renaming it the Greene County Cultural Fund so we could issue the funds," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Robert Gabin report in the Times Union that Albany County is attempting to respond to more emergency calls with EMS and behavioral health professionals rather than police. On September 9th, Albany County officials called the pilot program a big success. Stephen Giordano, the county's mental health commissioner, said, and I quote, "While many communities across the county have been rethinking crisis response, reimagining how to handle crisis, Albany County did it," end quote. The program is called ACCORD, for Albany County Crisis Officials Responding and Diverting, and it began in June 2021 to reduce adverse encounters between police and civilians with mental health issues. Police do not receive the same training as mental health professionals. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is on board with the program. Apple said, and I quote, "If we get called to some place right now and we have someone who is mentally ill, we take them to the hospital. That's going to tie up police officers and probably one paramedic because they have to have us and we have to have them. So now we're tied up at the emergency room for hours because of their staffing shortage. So this ACCORD team will be able to take care of that and keep police officers on the street, which is vital," end quote. UAlbany School of Public Health and School of Social Welfare released a report about the program. From June 2021 to June 2022, there were 240 nonviolent 911 calls dispatched to the ACCORD team in Albany County. In 122 of these encounters, the teams were able to resolve the crisis on the scene. Instead of police shootings, the mental health professionals recommended individuals take a shower, get outside for a walk, and talked out the problems. Giordano told reporters, and I quote, "For so many years, we have been trying to call attention to the mental health needs of our community. And I guess we're getting noticed now, unfortunately and fortunately," end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 78 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 56 degrees. And on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 77 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 53 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, September 13th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. And at 9 a.m., tune in the WGXC Morning Show with the WGXC Congressional Report, with news from the New York 19, 20, and 21st districts as voting nears in November. At 11 a.m., the Early Electro Mix Show features works from Ann Southam, Brian Eno, and Henry Cow. Then there's brand new music on the Overlook Show from Rob Safer, live from Ulster County. After the local news at noon, he'll feature tracks from Black Midi, Sunburned Hand of the Man, Bill Orcutt, Madur Maktur, William Parker, and many others. Bill Fontana is the featured artist on the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. And there's environmental local news on All Together Now at 6 p.m. At 8 p.m., Andy French has Crawl Out from the Fallout with all kinds of new music. Dan Seward is live at 10 p.m. from somewhere in Columbia County with the Battlefield Earth Show on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Keddie on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@wgxc.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@wgxc.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, September 13th. Local early morning temperatures range from 63 degrees in Durham to 70 in Tivoli. Regional average soil temperature is 69 degrees. Today is going to be rainy, and it gets stronger after 10 a.m. with chances for some local downpours and storms this afternoon. A high of 79 happens at 3 p.m. Shortly after dark, rain ends and temperatures begin their slide toward the overnight low of 53 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry, mostly sunny, and a bit breezy with a high of 81. Overnight, it dips to 53 degrees. Then Thursday is looking similar with a high of 70 degrees. Overnight, we see 45 degrees taking us into a warm Friday with a high of 72. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5:40 a.m., low tide at 12:12 p.m., then high tide once again at 6:09 p.m. The river temperature will be 73 degrees, and the current strength will be strong. Sunset today will be at 6:57 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:29 a.m. Looking way up, we see, though it's weakened a bit, sunspot AR3088 is swinging back into view with the potential for some flare generation today. Solar wind speed is currently 315 kilometers per second at 0.8. protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is too quiet. The current sunspot number is 117. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Friday Night Racer of Hartsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You like music?
Hey,
this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can you say no to that?
Reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, civil defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival shelter today.
from his 2022 solo electronic record. Local drummer, percussionist, and jazz legend Bobby Previtt, that was Pioneer from his Dark Current album.
I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Because we know this, cancer does not discriminate red and blue. It doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Beating cancer is something we can do together.
President Joe Biden spoke Monday of his goal to reduce U.S. cancer deaths in half over the next 25 years. Speaking in Boston on the 60th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's famous moonshot speech, Biden described what he called a new American moonshot, a plan aimed at eradicating cancer as we know it. Biden said the same technology used to fight the coronavirus could also be used to fight cancer, including the mRNA vaccine technology. He also highlighted a new federally backed study touting the use of blood tests to screen for multiple cancers and improve early detection. Earlier in the day, Biden focused on the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law with union workers at Boston's Logan International Airport.
It will create opportunities for communities of color, for women, and veterans, including right here in Boston at Logan Airport.
Janaya Nelson of Labor's Local 223 said Biden is putting union workers front and center on his agenda to rebuild America's roads, bridges, and airports. Biden said the upgrades made to Logan Airport would create nearly 6,000 union jobs. In Minnesota, some 15,000 nurses began a three-day strike over low wages and understaffing. Mary Turner is president of the Minnesota Nurses Association and an ICU nurse. She said pay raises are needed to save the profession of nursing.
Tell you what, guys, if all we cared about was money, we'd all be traveling right now. Okay, because during the pandemic, as a COVID ICU nurse at North, I sat next to nurses who made $300 an hour. Believe you me, we don't make no $300 an hour.
The union is seeking a more than 30% increase in wages. The hospitals have offered between 10 and 12%. White House officials are working to avert a national railroad strike that is days away from shutting down much of the country's transportation infrastructure. Food producers are asking Congress to intervene, saying they are already dealing with delays due to railroads being shorthanded.
This is what community looks like. This is what democracy looks like.
Dozens of immigrants' rights activists gathered in Washington, D.C. Monday, demanding Congress cut funding for detention and deportation policies. Nilson Barahona, a Honduran native and former immigration detainee, spoke of the freedom America promises.
And freedom is a thing that they take away from us when we're looking for safety. Yeah. This is not what United States stands for.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. July 20th, the Bipartisan Electoral Count Act was introduced in the U.S. Senate, and we're going to spend some time this week examining the reforms it's proposing and what it will do and not do to protect our presidential elections. The apparent multi-pronged conspiracy to subvert the 2020 election rattled legal scholars and democracy advocates across the country. One of the elements of the alleged conspiracy was manipulating the Electoral College system. In our current version of the Electoral Count Act, passed in 1887, Congress receives the presidential election results in the January following the election from each state and then certifies the count. Now it takes one U.S. Senator and one U.S. House member to object to a state's count, then the House and Senate separately debate the objection. The changes to the Electoral Count Act just introduced would require that two-fifths of the state's federal legislators must object for the objection to be considered in a vote, a higher bar. The bill also defines the vice president's role as purely ceremonial, dispensing with the interpretation that the vice president has the power to change the outcome of the election. But what about the electors themselves? Who appoints them, and how does the amendment to the Electoral Count Act change this? More in tomorrow's segment. But in the meantime, check out articles on the Electoral Count Act at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, democracy is not something we have, it's something we do. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Yesterday, a child came out to wonder, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful, when the sky was full of thunder. the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go. Child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like "when you're older" must appease him, and promises of someday make his dream. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go. Springs and 16 summers gone now. Cartwheels turn to car wheels through the town, and they tell him, take your time, it won't be long now, till you drag your feet to slow the circles down. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go. So the years spin by, and now the boy is 20. Though his dreams have lost some grandeur coming true, there'll be new dreams, maybe better dreams, and plenty before the last revolt. The seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle. Circle game.
Here is this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democrat Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan, who now represents the 19th District, has yet to cast a vote.
Rick Collin reports in the Times Union that hunting groups are criticizing Representative Elise Stefanik for a bill she's co-sponsoring that would repeal a decades-old excise tax on firearms. The gun tax funds wildlife conservation and other environmental protections. Caden MacArthur, the government relations representative for backcountry hunters and anglers, said, and I quote, there wasn't any consultation with sportsmen's or sportswomen's groups, end quote. The bill is more political theater than reality right now, as Democratic majorities in Congress are unlikely to pass the measure. Shortly after Democratic Representative Don Byers of Virginia introduced a bill to impose a 1,000% excise tax on assault-style weapons earlier this year, Republicans introduced the Repealing Excise Tax on Unalienable Rights Now Act. Stefanik said, and I quote, I am proud to join my colleagues in introducing legislation to eliminate this harmful tax that infringes on Americans' ability to exercise their Second Amendment rights. Make no mistake, I will not allow the government to tax the constitutional right of hardworking Americans by marking up the price to exercise one's Second Amendment rights, end quote. The tax dates back to 1937 and generates $18 million annually for New York State and more than $400 million since 1939 for a range of wildlife habitat protection and restoration efforts, as well as hunter safety programs. The Howl for Wildlife Group, the National Wildlife Federation, the National Wild Turkey Federation, and the Sportsmen's Alliance are among the groups in opposition to Stefanik on the issue. Stefanik represents the 21st Congressional District that will include Rensselaer County beginning next year. Read the full story in the Times Union.
The 538.com website looks at which politicians on the ballot this fall are falsely denying the legitimacy of the 2020 election. In New York, the candidate for governor and several congressional candidates in the Hudson Valley are on the list. There's been no proof that there was fraud in the 2020 presidential election. The website says the Republican Lee Zeldin, who is running for governor, quote, accepted with reservations, unquote, the results of the 2020 election, even though he voted not to accept the results of the election hours after the attempted coup on January 6, 2021. Michael Henry, a Republican running for attorney general, is listed as having, quote, no comment, unquote, on the issue. Joe Pinion, the Republican running for the U.S. Senate seat, is listed as, quote, fully accepted, quote, of the election results. Republicans Liz Joy and Elise Stefanik, though, are listed as having, quote, fully denied, unquote, the election results. Joy, who is running against incumbent Democrat Paul Tonko in the 20th Congressional District, attended the rally at the Capitol on January 6th. Stefanik, the incumbent in the 21st District, is one of former President Donald Trump's biggest backers and voted against certifying the election results on the night of January 6, 2021. The website says that Colin Schmidt, the Republican candidate in the 18th Congressional District, has, quote, avoided answering, unquote, the question. And the website says Mark Molinaro, running in the 19th Congressional District, has had, quote, no comment, unquote, on who is legally the president of the country. Go to 538.com for more information.
The Common Cause website is tracking Congress members' votes on democracy-related legislation at the Democracy Scoreboard. Democratic Representative Paul Tonko of the 20th Congressional District gets the best score locally. Tonko voted for all 18 democracy-related legislations tracked here and co-sponsored four of the bills. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican from the 21st Congressional District, only voted for one of the 18 bills tracked, the Courthouse Ethics and Transparency Act. Democrat Representative Sean Maloney, currently representing the 18th Congressional District, got a 16 out of 18 score, while there is no score for the 19th Congressional District after Antonio Delgado resigned and recently elected fill-in Pat Ryan has yet to cast a vote. The website says, and I quote, Common Cause does not endorse or oppose candidates. We simply provide constituents the facts about how your delegation voted, so you and the people you share this nonpartisan tool can make an informed and comprehensive evaluation of your legislator's performance, end quote. See Democracy Scoreboard for more information.
Chris McKenna reports in the Times-Herald Record that the Republican congressional candidate Mark Molinaro's campaign manager is calling his candidate's loss in a special election to Pat Ryan rigged. Molinaro's campaign manager, Will Dawson, wrote in an email that, quote, the redistricting fiasco allowed Pat Ryan and Kathy Hochul to rig the election with two Democrat primary elections on the same day as the general and then lied about Mark's position on abortion and we still almost won, unquote. Saying that the election was rigged is similar to the lies about the 2020 presidential election told by former President Donald Trump. The date for the New York special election to fill Democrat Antonio Delgado's seat after he resigned to become lieutenant governor was largely chosen by law. It had to be set within 10 days of the resignation and had to be held within 3 months of the resignation. Dawson's complaint that the special election was held on the same day as other primary elections seems strange, as holding the elections on different days would have doubled the cost to taxpayers and clearly would have lowered turnout. Ryan responded to the baseless charge, saying that, quote, "To use that language of rigged echoes really dangerous rhetoric trumpeted by our former president. It is beneath the dignity of the office we are both seeking," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times-Herald Record. Rebecca C. Lewis reports for City and State that there have not been any public polls released so far to tell who might be favored in the 19th congressional district election between Democrat Josh Riley and Republican Mark Molinaro. The Riley campaign, though, released the results of an internal poll conducted by Garen Hart Yang Research Group on September 9th that claims their candidate is leading. Internal polls usually favor the candidate paying for them, and in this poll, Riley leads with the backing of 47% of likely voters, with 44% backing Molinaro. The poll has a 5% margin of error and is paid for by the Riley campaign. Molinaro will likely release internal poll results soon with the opposite results. This poll surveyed voters on landlines and cell phones between August 29th and September 1st. Read more about this story at City and State. This has been the WGXE Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to the WGXE newsroom at wgxc.org for more information. Next, we hear from Columbia County jazz legend, percussionist, composer Bobby Previtt. In 2022, he released a solo electronic album called Dark Current, and this is Explorer. Thank you. Tamaro and Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The CITGO in South Caro has gas for $3.81 a gallon. That's the lowest price we can find on the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is next, and it's a 7 on Tuesday, even better than Monday. And the UV index is just a 4. That's in the moderate range. That's because rain is expected on Tuesday. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 70% chance of showers and possibly thunderstorms during the day, off and on, with a high of 74 and a northwest wind around 6 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tuesday night, there's a 30% chance of showers, and there still could be a thunderstorm on Tuesday night with a low around 54 and a west wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. Wednesday should be sunny with a high of 74 and a west wind 7 to 10 miles per hour for those windmills. And mostly clear Wednesday night with a low around 50 and a northwest wind 6 to 13 miles an hour. Thursday should be sunny with a high of 65 and a low around 44. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Here's 2022 new music from Kate LeBond. The song is called Remembering Me.